Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Tuesday. We are jam-packed today. I love these shows. Peter King, SI.com, senior NFL writer, the Monday Morning Quarterback. We'll talk with Peter. I want to get into it with Peter about last night and the debates. Yeah, I'm going to get over to the Cardinals and the Bills. That's fine. It's week three of the season, and there should be reason for concern. But Peter's covered lots of NFL owners and lots of NFL coaches. He's also very in tune to the political side of things. And I think there was a time where Peter considered, I know this actually, that Peter considered walking away from doing the football thing and going over on the political side. And so I'm curious as to his view. Peter had a new addition to the family too. He had a rescue dog over the weekend. So all sorts of stuff with Peter. We'll talk about the Rams and much, much more. Chip Lindsey will be with us. Chip Lindsey will Skype on in. Peter's going to Skype in as well. Chip Lindsey, first-year ASU offensive coordinator, and a terrific job by Chip Lindsey with the offense so far. Remember when Mike Norvell left and went to Memphis, and Todd Graham said he thinks his staff is going to be better. So far, Todd Graham would be proven correct, although all of us, including me in this discussion, were skeptical about that. Getting Kalen Ballage and Demario Richard enough carries, how high is the ceiling for N'Keal Harry and also Manny Wilkins and his hurdling and all that stuff with and taking hits? We'll talk about that with Chip Lindsey. And then Michael Fabiano will be with us from the NFL Network. We'll catch up with Michael, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst, the Hall of Famer, on your fantasy football teams a quarter of the way through the season. Who is it time to dump, just get rid of? And unfortunately, I think on my team, I have like, I don't know, three of those guys are just dreadful so far this year. So we'll catch up with Michael. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind brought to you by Subway. Subway, eat fresh. It is good to have Subway as part of Sports 360 AZ. It's also great for you to have Subway for your next catering event. Think Subway the coming weekend or just here during the middle of the day. Make the call. Make the decision. Subway for lunch. Get it catered on in Subway, eat fresh. Appreciate their support. So I did watch the debate last night. I didn't see any of the Falcons and Saints until this morning, and it was a track meet. The thing on social last night that people were buzzing about were the Falcon and Saint players holding hands after the national anthem was played as a sign of solidarity. I thought it was a neat moment and a good idea by Sean Payton, who brought it to the attention of the Falcons, called the Falcons and said, why don't we do this? I know most of you didn't see it last night. The numbers for the debate are just silly stupid in terms of people watching the debate over Monday Night Football. It wasn't even close. Monday Night Football just got crushed, just got destroyed, and rightly so. So, and I saw a little bit of the Diamondbacks game. Just a tiny bit. I don't know why I ended up over there. But did you watch the debate or the game last night, E? Where were you?
I watched the entire debate. I, like you, probably saw a play or two from the Monday night game. So,
So I saw today where Trump interrupted Lester Holt, which is part of debates. And he interrupted Hillary 55 times last night.
Lester Holt was sort of the pinata.
Goody said that was going to happen, by the way.
Sort of the pinata.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't real bullish when it came to controlling those two. Well, specifically Trump.
I mean, how do you control somebody in a professional manner like that? Like, if I'm in that space last night, there'd probably come a point where I would just say, you're being rude. Or if you're on the side of the aisle, and again, this when it comes to politics, it's kind of like when you're a fan of a team. Like if you're a Cowboy fan, you think the Cowboys can do no wrong, and you've thought that for many, 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 many years, and all they do is things wrong, right? They get their heads kicked in every year. Oh, that's a cheap shot. You wait till Romo comes back. Yeah, okay, I'll wait. So if I say that Trump interrupted Hillary and Holt 55 times...
He bullied them. I mean, and that's nothing different than what we've seen from Donald Trump since this whole campaign started.
But it sounds like we are saying, oh, Hillary is the person that we are voting for. And I have not asked you, and nor have you asked me, and I'm not bringing it up for voting. I'm just
It's not your business.
Right.
Your vote is none of my business.
So it's one of those deals where I'm not sitting here saying, I've got to vote for this person, thus he had every right to interrupt Lester Holt and Hillary because they were saying all these things that were just wrong and were lies, and he was trying to correct them, and the liberal media and the bias was not allowing it to happen last night. So Donald just had to talk about Sean Hannity over and over and over because that's where everybody goes to. Okay.
I think she did catch him in a couple lies last night because there were a couple points where he didn't have much to say or he was just spinning his wheels just to talk when he wasn't even directly answering the question like most politicians do. But it was entertaining. I mean, it wasn't mind-numbing after a while. But it wasn't as ugly as I thought it was going to be.
Well,
I thought it was
going to
be just a complete bloodbath, and it really wasn't that bad.
Don't you think it would get to a point where if the two were uncensored, that he would drop a B and some other words?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't you feel like that's where you want to see them get to a point? And it would not be political at all, but given the climate in our country, like what happened last night far outweighs what happened in sports yesterday. Far outweighs it. And so we have until November 8th to go through the political cycle. I think the next 6 weeks in our country, it's going to be really interesting to see friends that have friends on Facebook will defriend them. Friends that are in a space in life where they thought they had friends and they're out to dinner and the subject will come up, they will be divided. People that go to the same congregation or temple or whatever your faith may be, or if you don't even have a faith, are going to become divided over this. Like, I've never seen something as C-SPAN yesterday was showing debates from years past. There was decorum and there was politeness. And there was this and that. And like anything, like yesterday in the media class that I teach at ASU, we showed about 30 minutes of Howard Cosell. So I decided in my curriculum, noticing that it was the day of the debate, that let's go through the topic of sports talk. I've been part of this racket since the late 80s, mid 80s. And so I've seen it evolve and I've worked with some very talented people. I've had plenty of program directors and consultants. Those who can do, those who can't consult, say you need to do it this way or that way. I worked with a pair of dudes at one time called the Butt Brothers, B-U-T-T, they called them on the air. Yeah, and they showed up and they were the plumber with the crack hanging out of the back. And this was, according to a consultant, what sports talk fans want. That's what they want. That's who they are. And of course, they did some things that were completely out of line and completely over the top. And nobody watched. They got some stuff in the newspaper back in the day. And the Butt Brothers disappeared. You know, so our industry tries these gimmicks and these gadgets. You know, the latest thing is if you carry a team, you have to suck up to the team all day long because the team has the rights fees and you tie these sponsors in and so on and so forth. It's no different than in the political space. Fox would not put Hillary on and conduct a civil discourse of an interview. They would just wouldn't because you're not speaking to the masses. All you're going to do is say, they're wrong, I'm right. That's it. That's where we are. I could have Cardinal fans tell me that, oh, well, the referees screwed the Cardinals over on Sunday. No, they didn't. The Cardinals just blew. But when it comes to politics, like last night, I'm trying to look at this objectively. I listened to it on satellite as I was driving home for like 45 minutes. And I just hear Trump going through the same circle. All is bad, all is evil. And I hear Hillary have this air of confidence / arrogance about her, which I think you have to have in that spot. And I didn't come out of there feeling like I like this person more than the other. It was just, I'm going to talk to Peter about it here in a minute too, because Peter, as I mentioned, wanted at one time to go in the political scene.
I mean, Trump's hair was amazing. That was one of my biggest takeaways. Not that it ever hasn't been amazing, but last night it was whatever that thing is that's living on top of his head was, I was captivated.
How about him sniffling?
Him sniffling and Hillary blinking. Like she blinked 3 billion times last night, if you're watching.
So when I was driving home, it was becoming obnoxious, him sniffling. I'm thinking he had a cold. And then knowing what was really interesting is I walked out of my class right before 6. The students go out. I walk out, Eric, and they at Cronkite, they put on the debate last night. And it was packed. Now, I don't know if it was students being told, you've got to go there to watch for extra credit.
Well, that's a good sign. We need those millennials voting.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And then I get home and my millennial daughter is sitting there and she proceeds to just go through fact check. She's 23. Bottom line is it's great to see people. When we were in our 20s, guys, think back to when we were in our 20s. I don't think our country was as politically interested as we are right now. It's great to have sports as part of that. It's terrific. But last night was, I think the next 6 weeks, and when we get to November 9th, the morning after the election, is our country going to go off the rails like what we've seen in Charlotte, what we've seen in Ferguson? Are we going to see some of that here? Just really interesting, the toxic time that it is. We can root for our teams and have some fun with it, but that clearly was the overarching story last night. What's on my mind brought to you by Subway. Subway, eat fresh, appreciate Subway and their support. On the other side, it is Peter King, SI.com senior NFL writer, the Monday morning quarterback via Skype. Peter's standing by. He'll check in next. We'll go through the Cardinals and much more. Then Chip Lindsey, offensive coordinator from ASU, and Michael Fabiano at the NFL Network. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the NFL Network, with AZ Central. I'll get it right. AZ Central Sports. Thanks for being with us. Time now to turn our attention to the National Football League with Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback. It is always good to catch up with PeterSI.com, the MMQB on the run, on the roll. Check them out at MMQB.com. Peter had a new addition over the weekend. Congratulations on that, I must say right off the top. And
we got a dog.
Yeah. Is the dog around? I know we're Skyping from your house.
The dog actually, we live in an apartment, and when my wife isn't here,
yeah,
the dog stands by the door or lays by the door and waits for Ann to come home.
Ah, and
that's it.
When you're not there, does the dog wait by the door for you to come home?
No, the dog parties like it's 1999.
Well, let's. I want it because I love talking to you about things other than football, and our time is limited. But I am just curious your take on last night, not who won or lost, but Peter, 100 million people watched the debate and didn't watch the Saints and Falcons. And yeah. Lester Holt tried to hang in there, and I know you put something on Twitter this morning, as did I. What do you think of the debate overall, Peter?
Well, I thought Lester Holt got better as the debate went on, having nothing to do with partisanship. But I thought he got better as it went on. I thought early on, you know, the way that these debates work is that each candidate is supposed to have 2 minutes to answer something. And so I thought early on Trump, you know, four or five times would just, in the middle of a point that Clinton was making, Trump was just, you know, interrupting him and Lester was saying nothing. So, but anyway, I'm a Lester Holt fan. I watch NBC Nightly News all the time. But I just thought, and I thought later on as the debate got rolling, he got warmed up and did okay. I think it's a fascinating look at the democracy in our country that an absolute outsider like Trump is head-to-head even with an absolute inside-the-beltway person in Hillary Clinton. And, you know, I look forward to the next two. I heard a rumor this morning that Trump was considering boycotting the last two debates for whatever reason. Some senator said it on Twitter, which, I mean, I think would be a huge mistake because I think it would be admitting that I can't play in that league. And anyway, I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was fun. And yeah, I watched the debate. I didn't watch football. And from what I saw, I didn't miss much.
Given your role and what you've done through the years, and when I read the MMQB and just reading you through these many years, if you were sitting in that space and you could ask those two candidates a question, what would it be that you would ask? Because I've got to believe you sitting there last night watching the debate, some questions were running through your mind.
The question I would ask Donald Trump is that you know, there have been so many and I'd find four or five cases where he has lied, and or he says something now today that is diametrically opposed to something he said 2 or 3 years ago, and he just denies that he's lying. I would say, the record is there. Your tweets are there. Why do you continually say on such and such events that you didn't say that, or I'm not lying. You are lying. You know, why do you do that? And I think with Clinton, I would just say I'd really want to know from her how, after all of these events that happened, particularly with her emails, and that bothers me. That bothers me a lot. How can we be sure that somebody who is the ultimate insider and who has raised money from people who are going to want favors, how can we be sure that you're not going to succumb to what every other career politician has succumbed to, which is doing favors for those who've given you a lot of money? And that to me is the thing that I wonder most about Hillary Clinton, who I think is an incredibly smart and able person. But I just worry about her when she gets in office, not thinking about doing the right thing, but thinking about doing the right thing for people who have given her a lot of money.
Flip this around then. On owners or coaches you've dealt with in the NFL, do you have a Trump and do you have a Clinton of coaches or owners you've dealt with through the years in the NFL?
I think that as far as being somebody who is really smart and wanting very much to do the right thing consistently, I'd say it's Jeffrey Lurie of the Eagles. And as far as somebody who is sort of the master salesman, and look, I mean, he's the master salesman, I'd say it's Jerry Jones, but I've not caught Jerry Jones in lies.
Yeah.
You know, the way Trump was. But Jerry Jones is one of these guys who, you know, honestly, I'd much rather have Jerry Jones running for president than Donald Trump.
Mm.
Because I think Jerry Jones understands, you know, how to do a deal fairly. And he's done so many of them. You ask the high schools right now in Frisco, Texas. I think there's 8 of them. The high schools in Frisco, Texas now are in partnership with the Dallas Cowboys in this new facility they have in Frisco, so that after the Cowboys finish practicing on Friday, you know, Frisco high schools come in and use the facility and play Friday Night Lights at the Cowboys facility. He understands how to get deals done, and deals that are not only good for him, but that are good for the community as well.
Talking with Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com, the MMQB must read. Follow Peter on Twitter. Is it time to panic here in Arizona? Did they just run into a desperate team, or do you see cracks appearing here in Bruce Arians' team?
I didn't see a lot of the game on Sunday, but I'll tell you what would worry me. What would worry me is Carson Palmer completing 57% of his passes. I mean, that's not good. The interceptions, I'm not that worried about yet. I don't think that's become a pattern. But this is a team so far that has been ice cold in the first quarter of games, that has not been nearly as explosive or efficient on offense. And look, you know this, the defense is good, but the defense is not, you know, the 85 Bears. You know, I'd still like to see, I mean, they're getting some pass rush now from Chandler Jones. But I would just like to see more consistency on offense, as I'm sure Bruce Arians would. And look, I think that the Johnson twins are going to be absolutely fine in the backfield. I mean, they've been very good so far. And I think this leaves it up to a passing game that, you know, again, I think needs to be more consistent, probably needs to get a little bit more involvement from Jerron Brown, who I think is one of these guys who's ready to emerge as a big player. But no, I think it's way too early to panic. And you talked about the Bills. And we talked about it before we came on the air. What always worries me in the NFL is a decent team, and the Bills are a decent team. But the Buffalo Bills, I'd always worry about a team that is a desperate team. That team goes to 0-3 at home, you know, 0-2 at home after having a debacle of a Thursday night home game against the Jets. Long week, time to prepare. If they lay another egg, I don't care who it's against, all of a sudden every call in Western New York is for Rex Ryan's job. He's not going to make it. The season is lost. That was a playoff game for the Buffalo Bills, and that's how they responded.
Last question in about a minute, Peter. They've got the Rams this week, first time to CLA. We're seeing Case Keenum. We're not seeing Jared Goff. Clearly, Carson Wentz has been the story of the NFL. Jared Goff has not been. What do you make out of the Rams so far?
I'm really not all that concerned about Goff not playing, because if I am the coach of that team, if I'm Jeff Fisher, the only thing I'm concerned with is not what the outside world is saying. I'm only concerned with I'm putting Jared Goff in the game when he's ready to play. Mm-hmm. I'd rather play Sean Mannion right now if he determines that Jared Goff is not ready to play. That's number one. Number two, it's the darndest thing with these Rams. Every year you look up, they're 6-10, 7-9, whatever, 8-8. They're never a real serious playoff contender. But every single year, they play teams in their division really, really tough. And I know last year, the Cardinals split with them. This is not one of those games where you look at your schedule and say, well, we get well this week. We got a not very good team coming in to play us. And I just think, especially with Aaron Donald and some of the defensive playmakers, I just think it's a dangerous team anytime they come to town.
Peter, appreciate the visit. Stay well. Thanks.
All the best, Brad. Thank you.
There's Peter King joining us via Skype. Always good to catch up with Peter. He joins us there in New York City. Appreciate Peter and his time, as always, on the show. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So the big game on this weekend to me coming up is ASU playing at USC. This is a game, of course, where there's a lot of recruits in Southern California. The Sun Devils are off to a nice 4-0 start. It is just September, so I'm not going to get too high or too low, but you cannot help but be impressed with what they're doing out on the field and off the field as well. A big part of that on the offensive end is our next guest. Chip Lindsey is the new offensive coordinator. He comes over to ASU, and he is absolutely killing it, or the kids, I should say, Coach, are killing it for you on the field. Are you surprised with the offensive output and efficiency through four games, Coach?
You know, it's been good. I mean, it's been good and bad, though. You know, we're a little inconsistent at times, but I think when you have some young players that are playing for the first time and experimenting things for the first time, I think some of that's expected. But I am pleased with the progress. I'm pleased with the way they come to practice every day and try to get better and improve. And, you know, our goal is to try to improve every day, take one day at a time, and I think our guys are committed to that.
Chip, at the start of the season, even going back to Camp Tonizona, there was the question about who the quarterback would be. And Manny has come in here, and on Saturday night, three rushing touchdowns. That ties a school record. When you see Manny Wilkins and his development, is it more than where you thought he'd be at this point of the season, or is he right on track?
You know, I think he's on track. I had a lot of confidence in Manny and Brady as well. But when we made that decision, I think we based it on the way Manny handled himself with our team, you know, in practice, the good and the bad in situations that we try to, you know, put him in during fall camp and so forth. So I'm not surprised at the way he's handled himself. I think he's doing a really good job of trying to stay on an even keel, not too high or not too low. And, you know, when you play the quarterback position, you have to move on to the next play, good or bad. And so far, he's done a really good job of that. He'll be the first to tell you there's a lot of room for improvement, and we're trying to work on that every day.
Do you work with him, Chip, on the jumping over player technique? Because I have lots of fans that say, Brad, he's going to get himself killed out there if he keeps doing it. Does he catch you and your breath coming out when he does that move there, Coach?
Yeah, you know, it's a little nerve-wracking seeing him do that. I mean, obviously, you want a player to be who they are, and you know, each player's different, their skill set. So I think Manny has to be Manny, but I also think, you know, there's a lot to be said about understanding the situation we're in and the time and really making smart decisions and being able to get down on the ground or get out of bounds when he's supposed to. And, you know, again, a young player that's learning on the run, but, you know, really pleased with his progress and definitely encouraging him to, you know, maybe not do that near as much, for sure.
Finding the football for Kalen Ballage and Mario Richard. I know there were fans at the start of the year that said, Brad, how are they going to be able to do that? Obviously, it's worked out so far this season. Kalen gets nicked up the other night. Richard does his thing. Tell me about that dynamic.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a blessing to have two guys like that that are very talented. We do have specific plans for that, and, you know, we track that and want to make sure they both get their opportunities within the game plan, you know. And, you know, Kalen came back the other night and responded well after he came back from getting a little dinged up. But both those guys are really valuable to our team, along with, you know, Tim White, obviously, and Cam Smith. And you know, we got four or five guys that we know that, you know, in order for us to play well and have a chance to win, we need to make sure those guys – you know, get the football, and that's our plan.
Yeah, you have game breakers, you have game changers, and that's what you want. When you look closer at Ballage, dig down a little bit on Kalen Ballage and what you see.
Well, obviously, from, you know, aside from the physical attributes that you see with him, he's a very very fierce competitor, very hard on himself, actually. You know, does not want to make mistakes, you know, takes pride in making sure he knows all of his assignments and what he's supposed to be doing. And, you know, and when you have a guy like him who you try to be versatile with, I mean, there, you know, he's got to make sure he's dialed in and understands, you know, where to line up and the details of playing, you know, that position. And luckily for us, he and DeMario both are very critical of themselves and makes for really good practice players and hopefully good Saturdays.
When you go over on the offensive side at wide receiver and you look at, and this is no disrespect to Tim White, no disrespect to Cam, but N'Keal Harry is someone that a lot of fans in the Valley and across the state have seen from the high school level at Chandler to where he is now. The potential that is there that you see early on in dealing with him?
Well, he's played well for a freshman, for sure. Everybody remembers the touchdowns and the things, you know, the catches he's made and so forth. But there's so many things that he can clean up away from the ball, you know, from a standpoint of alignment, assignment, and blocking. And I think he's making a lot of progress. You know, the interesting thing about N'Keal is N'Keal's a really good practice player, too. He's not a lot of talk. He comes in and goes to work, and Coach Jay Norvell does an unbelievable job mentoring those wideouts. And, you know, we're definitely excited about his future, and I think his best football still ahead of him.
If you were to go through your offense and look at it, Chip, at this point of the season, 4 weeks in, guys like me ask you questions, and you may be thinking, hey, Brad, here's what you're missing about what we've been able to accomplish so far. Maybe it's a player, maybe it's a side of the offense that we're just not focusing in on enough. Do you have one of those?
Well, I think it's definitely our offensive line. I mean, you know, people questioned our offensive line as we were going in because, you know, they were inexperienced, but those guys are growing and gelling as a unit, and it's not easy to play offensive line. Anybody that has knows that, and obviously, you know, as we go through our Pac-12 schedule, we're going to play better and better teams, and you know, those guys are going to have to continue to grow, and there's going to be some ups and downs, but those guys stay on an even keel as well, and I really like the progress that group is making, and they're kind of, you know, they don't get a lot of credit, and I think they deserve a lot of credit.
Best of luck this week against USC, Chip. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Chip Lindsey there, the offensive coordinator at Arizona State. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Looking forward to that matchup. That is a 5:30 kick, decent time. 5:30 kick out in Los Angeles at the Coliseum. And with the Trojans struggling, the Rams now being in place in Los Angeles, it's not like the football market is all USC any longer. And so when you look at this game and you say, wow, this is an opportunity for Arizona State. Yeah, it really is. For them to be 5-0 in a recruiting background that they love to go to, a fertile place like Southern California, that will be terrific. On the other side, when you look over at U of A, let's talk about U of A for a minute. They play at UCLA, and that will be on Saturday night as well. I thought the Wildcats played pretty well against Washington, even though they came out on the short end of the stick in overtime. A remarkable job by Rich Rodriguez, given the amount of injuries that he has on the offensive side of the football. The Wildcats are down to their third running back. And, of course, Brandon Dawkins getting it done at quarterback with Anu Solomon out. So far, Dawkins has been terrific. U of A, UCLA, big-time showdown for the Wildcats. That game's at the Rose Bowl. That will be Saturday night as well.
Now out to the NFL Network, Michael Fabiano right there on the spot, the Hall of Famer with us, fantasy football inside and out. All right, we're at the quarter pole of the season. I'm curious, Michael, from your point of view, what trends are emerging from your point of view around this fantasy season?
Well, I think the trend that's most obvious is that you didn't need to draft a quarterback in the first 5 to 7 rounds, because look at the list of guys who are leading the position in points. Matt Ryan wasn't drafted in most leagues. Right now, the highest scoring player in fantasy football. Matthew Stafford, either not drafted or drafted late. Derek Carr, drafted late. Ryan Tannehill is actually 8th in fantasy points among quarterbacks right now. Jameis Winston is right there as well. And all of a sudden, Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott, the two rookies, are in the top 12 at the position. And aside from that, Brad, it's been all about the injuries. And it's not just the running backs. Wide receivers are going down. Quarterbacks are going down. Tight ends are going down. So it's been a tough start to the 2016 fantasy campaign.
Well, who's benefited from the wide receiving injuries? I mean, if you look at some guys that have emerged that you're like at the start of the year, this guy wasn't even on anybody's radar. Now he's become a must-have on a team.
Well, Stephon Diggs, I would guess, is the most obvious choice, because what was the talk? It was Diggs and it was Laquon Treadwell. Well, Laquon Treadwell's done nothing.
Yep.
He's not even playing. So Mike Wallace has also emerged. I'm not saying he's a week-in and week-out starter, but this is a guy who was a fantasy star in Pittsburgh and then had a few bad seasons between playing in Miami, and he comes to Baltimore, and now suddenly he should be owned in a lot of leagues. Sterling Shepard, the rookie, injuries haven't caused him to become elevated from a fantasy standpoint. The Giants' offense is just that good. Willie Snead is another guy, although he didn't play on Monday night, still in the top 20 in fantasy points. And maybe the biggest example from this past weekend of where an injured wide receiver helped someone else's value was Terrell Pryor. Mm-hmm. I mean, he played quarterback. He ran in a touchdown. He was targeted 14 times. And now he will be one of the best waiver wire pickups ahead of a game with the Washington Redskins, who are down 2 defensive backs this week.
And I'm getting a lot of questions on wide receivers, but just one in particular, and that's Sammy Watkins. Where's Fabiano out on Sammy Watkins? That's what I'm getting.
Wait and see. I mean, I'm in leagues where I've seen him get cut, and I've picked him up, and I'm just waiting. Maybe he misses a few games. He was out last week. I don't know if he's going to play this week. We'll see what happens. Maybe that's a good thing for him going forward. So for the rest of the year, he can get in there. Watkins was a favorite of mine in the preseason, but boy, that foot was the one issue, and it's become a big issue both for the Bills and for fantasy fans. And the real issue there in Buffalo is that Watkins goes out, there's no one that you can pick up to replace him. Mm-hmm. There really isn't. The wide receiver core behind Watkins in Buffalo is, well, let's just say, not that attractive from a fantasy perspective. So I'm not dropping him. I'm sort of sitting back, waiting to see what happens.
Getting a lot of questions about what do you do with Michael Floyd with the Cardinals.
Now, he's a guy that if you want to pick up a hot free agent, I can see dropping. Floyd, it's odd. You know, Brad, and I've gotten caught up a little bit in this too, where the darlings in Arizona's pass attack have been, what, John Brown and Michael Floyd. Now, Brown was good last year. You know, Floyd was okay last year too. But Larry Fitzgerald is still there, and he's still the best wide receiver in Arizona for fantasy owners. Floyd, he has got a lot of talent, but the consistency just isn't there. I mean, right now, after 3 weeks, Jerron Brown has more fantasy points than Michael Floyd. So if you are looking for a wide receiver to start this week, if you've got guys on buys, if you want to pick up Terrell Pryor, I would not tell people who are thinking of dropping Michael Floyd to question that decision, because the consistency is not there. It's honestly never been there for Floyd. What his biggest asset is, yes, he's athletic and he's talented, has been the offense around him. They've got a lot of mouths to feed in that offense. And if Jerron Brown keeps making plays, now there's another mouth to feed between David Johnson, Floyd, both the Browns. So we'll see. But Floyd is a guy that I'm not latched on to, let's put it that way. If you decided to drop him, I can't argue with that move.
Getting a lot of questions about Tyler Eifert. What's Michael think about Tyler Eifert's situation?
He needs to be owned in every league. He's not practicing fully, but he's getting closer to returning. And I'm not saying this is a guy who's going to come out and score double-digit touchdowns. Obviously, that's not going to happen like he did last year. But he's a red zone threat, and he's clearly got a rapport with Andy Dalton last year, and they're going to look for him down in the red zone, that's for sure. Eifert right now is probably owned in most leagues. On NFL.com, his ownership is almost 90%. But there are some leagues out there where he could be available. So if you need a tight end, you might want to pick him up now. It's the same kind of thing as with Josh Gordon. Gordon's ownership is probably about 50 to 55% on NFL.com right now. So he's another player. Hey, see if he's out there. Pick him up if he is.
Mark, Carson Palmer, Brock Osweiler, or waiver wire?
No, I mean, Palmer had a stinker last week, but the entire Cardinals team was terrible. Hard to predict, almost like Trevor Siemian leading all quarterbacks in fantasy points in his first road game in Cincinnati, okay? Mm-hmm. Sometimes and oftentimes, you know this, Brad, the NFL and fantasy football is unpredictable. Palmer had a bad game last week. It happens. Start him this week. Okay, the matchup is a whole heck of a lot better. And he's got a track record of putting up 18 to 20 fantasy points when he's at home. And he did it earlier this year against New England. So stay the course with Palmer. I think last week was sort of a blip on the radar.
Sticking with that blip on a radar, a lot of questions about Tyrod Taylor. Just 1 week, where are you at on Tyrod Taylor?
Well, Tyrod's actually had a couple of good weeks. Now, remember, the previous week, he played the Jets. He had those two long touchdown passes that really helped his fantasy value. Last week, as a passer, it was ugly. I mean, it was not good. But what Tyrod brings to the table, and what I talked about in the preseason, Brad, is that even if he has a bad game as a passer, his ability to run with the football makes him special from a fantasy standpoint. Now, last week, he had 76 yards rushing and a touchdown, scored 16.3 fantasy points, and had 119 yards passing, okay? If you have 119 yards passing, I mean, 10 times out of 10, you are going to have an awful stat line. But when you can run with the football as a quarterback, that is a big-time advantage. And so I don't like the matchup this week in New England. I'm not telling you to start him because it is a matchup you want to avoid.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't give up on Tyrod Taylor unless you can go out and get a Dak Prescott or you can go out and get a Carson Wentz. And remember, the Eagles are on a bye this week. But Tyrod's value, while he hasn't had the greatest start to the season, I mean, he's basically right there with Carson Palmer in fantasy points. He's scored more points than Eli Manning. He's scored more points than Blake Bortles.
Before you go, we're talking with Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network right there on site, the Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. Some players across the land that you're saying, Brad, it's quarter pole of the season. Time to give up and move on. Enough of this. Who are those guys, yeah, Michael?
Well, in terms of guys who are out there and just not producing, we talked about Floyd. I mean, Randall Cobb. And we all sort of said, well, Jordy Nelson's going to come back and he's going to be the same player he was in 2014. Hasn't happened. He's been just as bad, if not worse. And a lot of times people fall in love with names, and they love the big names. But guess what? Randall Cobb is a big name who's producing next to nothing for your fantasy team.
Yeah.
So if you decided to go out and get rid of him, I can absolutely see that. Now, other players, Jeremy Langford, going to be out potentially 4 to 6 weeks if you decided to drop him, because I fully expect Jordan Howard to take over that job, run with it. Thomas Rawls is another player now, could be out several weeks. And you know, Christian Michael's been ridiculous. Yeah. I'm surprised that a player who was a cast-off in Seattle, a cast-off in Dallas, went to Washington for a cup of tea and had done nothing, is now a virtual must-start even against the Jets. And I think I talked about this with you in the preseason. If you look historically at the trend of second-year running backs, especially those who are coming off of good rookie campaigns, a lot of time those guys fall off. Let's look at the second-year running backs this year. Duke Johnson has not been good. Todd Gurley, okay, great game last week, and thank goodness. David Johnson's been really good too, right? But Rawls has fallen off. Langford's falling off. Mm-hmm. There is a trend that you should be monitoring there year in and year out with those second-year running backs. Now, there's other players who aren't producing right now that you don't want to cut. Sammy Watkins you don't want to cut. You don't want to cut Brandon Marshall. Players like that. Even a guy, listen, after the first few weeks, Dez Bryant and Julian Edelman have been busts.
Yep.
Let's be honest. You're not cutting those guys. You're kind of staying the course there. But when you get into some players, especially at some positions that are a little bit deeper, and there's some better options out there on the waiver wire, I gave you some wide receivers that you could potentially drop. At tight end, you've got some players like that too. Jason Witten, after a pretty good start, you know, his numbers have dropped off a little bit. You know, Gary Barnage, pretty decent game last week, but his numbers have dropped up. Jared Cook is another guy. Everyone's always all in love with Jared Cook. I don't know why. Not really that good of a player, but it was Aaron Rodgers. Cook is a guy that I would be cutting as well.
30 seconds. Some guys you like this week, just looking ahead at the schedule.
Well, who's playing the Saints? it's all San Diego all the time, so you like Rivers, you like Melvin Gordon, and of course you're going to like Travis Benjamin. If you need a tight end, Hunter Henry could be an option too, because Antonio Gates is a little bit banged up. I mentioned that I like Palmer and I like Fitzgerald this week for the Cardinals. I actually love Joe Flacco this week if you need a replacement for an Aaron Rodgers. Really underrated at home and a great matchup against the Raiders. At running back, I'll tell you, you've got to just play the guys that you drafted to be your starters, because there's not a lot out there on the waiver wire. Maybe you can get a Jordan Howard. That's possible. But the situations in Jacksonville, toxic. Miami, toxic. Carolina, Minnesota, all bad. And even in New York now with the Giants, because Shane Vereen's going to be out for a while. We don't know what's up with Rashad Jennings, and they're playing the Vikings this week. This is part of the reason why I was so enthusiastic about making sure I drafted running backs in the first few rounds, because this is what happens. Running back by committees, injuries, and the guys who have been injured at running back are not surprises. Arian Foster, Jonathan Stewart, Doug Martin. I mean, these guys have a history of being injured, but it's made the running back position even more difficult to navigate this season. So try and avoid those backfield committee situations at all costs.
Have a good week. Thanks for the time.
You too, pal.
It's Michael Fabiano right there at the NFL Network. Always good to catch up with Michael. Things around the National Football League on the fantasy football front. I think you got enough there to work with your teams and get them straightened out. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.